All right, welcome to this special report that describes the economic demise of Western Europe. Now, since the United States of America destroyed the Nord Stream pipelines back in, 2023, I think, it was devastating to the economy or the economies of countries like Germany and France and many others because Nord Stream brought cheap gas to Western Europe. And you may recall that Joe Biden and Victoria Nuland both promised to destroy Nord Stream and bragged about it after it happened. And there's plenty of video about that. I'm not even going to bother playing those videos for you. But the U.S. government destroyed Nord Stream. Actually, the U.S. Navy brought in deep sea divers with demolitions in the Baltic Sea during Balt Ops or Baltic operations. It was supposed to be a training exercise, but it actually was there to plant underwater demolitions to blow up Nord Stream. And they detonated it many months later to try to claim the U.S. Navy had nothing to do with it. So when that happened, it cut off Gazprom natural gas. Gazprom's the name of the company, which I believe is largely owned by the Russian government. Cut off Gazprom gas from Western European nations. And that was just devastating economically to Western Europe. It's the number one reason why BASF, or BASF, has largely shuttered its operations in Germany and moved those operations to China, where energy is a lot more abundant. So this loss of energy, of course, resulted in a collapse of manufacturing, of automobile companies, other industrial providers of equipment, all kinds of things, glass makers, ceramic makers in France, and all across the board. And to this day, energy prices in Western Europe are multiples of what they were in 2022. It makes it very difficult for people to heat their homes or for businesses to heat buildings or governments to heat buildings in the winter. And if you thought last winter was bad, it wasn't at all. Last winter was pretty mild for Western Europe. This winter is going to be devastating because there's even less energy. Now, here's why that's the case. I want to show you this map. And you're going to look at a pipeline here called the Power of Siberia and what's called the Power of Siberia 2. All right, so here's a map. Don't be confused. Blue is not water on this map. The water is actually white. It's like, what? China is in the ocean? No. Start with Yamal up in the top left of the map. Okay, and that's a gas field, a lot of natural gas. And you see the dotted line that then goes south and kind of to the east, and then it's labeled Power of Siberia 2. And then that dotted line crosses Mongolia, and then it delivers gas to China. Okay, this new pipeline, Power of Siberia 2, has just been agreed upon, because Russia and China just signed a legally binding agreement to build this line. It's about 2,600 kilometers. It's going to cost about $13.6 billion. That's nothing compared to the value of the energy that it will deliver, because it will deliver 50 billion cubic meters of natural gas every year into northern China. And what is in northern China? Not only China's industry, but also data centers for, you guessed it, the race to super intelligence and AI systems, okay? Now, the Yamal field, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Let's just assume I am. The Yamal field, or Yamal, I don't know. That's where Russia used to extract a lot of natural gas to send to the EU. So much of the gas that was used in countries like Germany and other Western European countries came from Yamal, Russia. So the only reason that Germany had an industrial economy for so many years was because of Russian gas. And during these years, the German leaders, who are all insane idiots, of course, along with almost all the other leaders of Western Europe, they committed energy suicide by dismantling their own energy infrastructure in order to appease the climate cultists. Remember a little Miss Greta Thunderpants, I call her. She's actually on a flotilla ship to protest the genocide in Gaza. So, you know, at least she's doing something more useful now rather than trying to spread all kinds of fairy tales about climate change, you know. But when the whole world was listening to her 10 years ago, they all shut down their natural gas domestic infrastructure and their coal infrastructure. And in countries like France, they were shutting down their nuclear power plants, too. Can you believe that? Shutting down their nukes. And you know what these EU countries told themselves? They said, it's no concern. We can get energy from Russia. And that's why they came to call Russia a gas station with nuclear weapons. They saw Russia as nothing but an energy provider that could be controlled and eventually overthrown. And the plan to overthrow Russia really was ratcheted up in 2014 with the CIA-run political coup in Ukraine, which then expanded by bringing in Zelensky. I think, what year was that? Was that 2017 or whatever year that was? They recruited Zelensky, put him in there, and they began, you know, shelling Ukrainian citizens in the eastern Donbass region. And ultimately, as you know, Russia decided that's enough. We're going to go in and take the Donbass region, protect those citizens from being mortared, you know, from receiving artillery from the Ukrainian military, etc. You know the whole story, special military operation. The problem is that then when there was a war breaking out between Ukraine and Russia, well, then the West enacted the economic embargoes against Russia and cut off Russia from the SWIFT system, which blocked all exports, essentially, from Russia, but especially energy exports. So all of a sudden, Western Europe found itself in a situation where, number one, it couldn't get gas because America blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, or plural, pipelines. And then secondly, Western Europe couldn't even financially conduct business with Russia because America controlled the SWIFT system. So in other words, America crippled Europe while trying to hurt Russia. So America thought, hey, we'll financially destroy Russia by cutting off their revenue source from the gas transfers to Europe. We'll also financially cripple Europe and make Western Europe purchase liquid natural gas from America, which will make a bunch of, you know, energy moguls in America extremely rich with hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue. And that's exactly what has happened since then. So the plan from the United States was to cripple Europe, hobble Europe so that it could not compete with America, go to war with Russia or overthrow it by first ruining Russia's economy by cutting off its ability to sell energy to anybody else. And, you know, that's what Ukraine was all about. And even now you see Trump putting secondary sanctions on India for daring to purchase energy from Russia. These are all related. The plan has always been cripple Russia economically, overthrow it from within so that the West can pillage the energy resources of Russia, but specifically so that the United States can pillage those resources, which is what Crimea has been all about this entire time, by the way. And the United States can also bash Europe over the head by destroying Europe's energy supply. And then, after all this is done and Russia is destroyed and Europe is destroyed, then America will turn its attention to destroying China. And that's called sequencing. So the United States has been sequencing its plan of global destruction and domination. And the U.S. has to, of course, destroy its allies, i.e. the U.K., Germany, etc., India, Japan, you know, in addition to destroying its enemies like Russia, so that it can then build up the ability to try to destroy China. Except there was a problem with this whole story. It was all a delusional fairy tale. None of it worked. None of it worked. The plan to destroy Russia totally backfired. And, you know, Russia has become stronger than ever. The plan to cripple the EU, that part has worked. That's actually working extremely well, but only because of the suicidal tendencies of the EU leaders, like, you know, Keir Starmer and Mertz and, you know, Macron, whatever. These people are just insane cultists who want to destroy their own countries. But the plan to one day go to war with China is insanely stupid and is just doomed to fail. there's no way on earth that the United States can go to war with China and defeat China, or even, I mean, the U.S. couldn't even go to war with China for more than about 2 weeks, during which time the entire U.S. Navy would be destroyed, probably, and the U.S. economy would be destroyed, etc. And China's got all the rare earths to manufacture the robots and the drones, and they've got the best technology for that, and they've got massive naval shipyards. They're outbuilding the United States Navy by 200 to 1, by the way. And China's got more people. China's got more, you know, better physics. China's got advanced laser weapons, advanced missiles, you know, etc. Russia's got hypersonic missiles. Russia's got Oreshnik missile systems. Russia has more advanced military technology than does the United States. So this global plan to try to destroy the world and to conquer the world and to have the U.S. be the dominant global bully for the next 100 years, that plan has failed. And the upshot is that now Russia and China have signed this deal to take all that gas from the Yamal fields that used to go to the EU, now that's going to be diverted to China. And where the energy goes, the technology flows and the capital investment flows. So northern China is going to get this massive influx of cheap, really cheap energy. It'll be more affordable. It'll be cheaper than what the EU used to pay because the pipeline's shorter. And it's not being, you know, bombed every day also. So China's going to get cheap, abundant energy to power its industry, to power its robot factories, to power its data centers. And yes, they will use gas with gas turbines to generate electricity to power data centers. And they're going to do this all day, every day, and they're going to outcompete the United States in terms of energy production. And remember that China already produces more than twice the total aggregate energy of the United States annually, with China producing more than 10,000 terawatt hours each year. Well, that's going to be 11,000 terawatt hours. That's a lot of power, folks. Terawatt hours. That's a trillion watt hours. We're talking 10,000 trillion watt hours, okay? These are big numbers. So pretty soon it's going to be a gazillion. So when China has the energy advantage, then they're going to have the AI advantage. They're going to have the advantage of industry. They're going to beat us to the race to superintelligence, you see. Because the U.S. wanted to go to war and cripple the EU. The U.S., you know, wanted to try to run the world and destroy everybody, conquer everything. And as a result, it's only made Russia and China stronger. And India is now being embraced by Russia and China. India is signing all kinds of new deals with both China and with Moscow. So India has become an ally of Russia and China thanks to Trump's tariffs. And when this new pipeline is done, Power of Siberia 2, guess what? It's going to mean that China will be importing 100 billion cubic meters of Russian gas every year. 100 billion cubic meters. I mean, that is multiples of what all of Western Europe used to import to power its entire industrial base. I mean, that's what kept the German factories humming, you know, all through the 1990s and the 2000s, etc. All that's going to China now. It's all going to China. So it's very clear, Western Europe is going to collapse. Western Europe is going to suffer an economic collapse, a political collapse, probably revolts and revolutions all across Western Europe. That's probably coming. The governments will be torn down. The economies will crumble. I mean, it's going to be, it might go full Mad Max at some point. It's going to be bad. All because effectively Russia has energy boycotted the EU in essence. I mean, that's not exactly true. There's still some energy that's being sold to the EU, but this shift to focus on China is effectively, it's kind of an energy sanction of the EU in the same way that the West had a financial sanction against Russia. Russia has learned we don't need the West. We can sell energy to China. And China needs energy to run its factories and its AI data centers. And so it's actually a perfect fit. And when Trump went to China and said, we're going to slap secondary tariffs on you for buying more energy from Russia because we control the world, Trump assumed. China said, yeah, go pound sand. You know, silly fool. We're going to buy energy from whoever we want. And there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, if you give us any trouble, we're just going to cut off all the neodymium exports to the United States. And then you can shut down your entire industry that uses magnets, which includes automobiles and robots and, you know, telecom and high tech, aerospace, military weapons, everything. Yeah, just shut all that down. And so Trump backed off. Trump said, oh, I was just kidding. I didn't mean it. And he backed off the tariffs. I would give you 15%, you know. And China's like, that's what I thought. So that's how that went down. And then China said, yeah, on top of that, you're going to take 600,000 Chinese students into the U.S. every year. And Trump said, okay, we'll do that. And he announced it publicly. And then there was this massive backlash. And then Trump said, no, I didn't mean it. It's going to be zero. It's not going to be 600,000. You see what I mean? China is in control, not Trump. China's in control. And when it comes to energy, Russia's in control, not America. Russia is in control. Russia has more energy than any other nation in the world, by far. Russia controls about 1/3 of all of the commodities known to exist on and in planet Earth, because Russia is massive. What is it, 13 time zones? Russia's massive. And you know, there's something else economically about all of this that people haven't considered. I've heard people say things like, well, Russia may have the energy, but China has the people. China's got the workforce. China's got the labor. China's got the soldiers. And, you know, you can't just build that up overnight. Actually, you can with robots. So Russia won't need the human workforce to become a massive industrial giant when robotics become advanced enough in order to handle a lot of manufacturing and warehousing tasks. And that's just a few years away. And the thing that you need in order to build robots is raw materials, you know, aluminum, copper, some silver, microchips, obviously, neodymium, certain magnets, rare earths, etc. But you need a lot of energy because you got to recharge those robots. And then you need batteries. China is the expert in mobile batteries for EVs and for robotics. So you can see where this is going. Russia is going to automate itself. It's going to automate a massive humanoid robot workforce and military force. And so will China. See, China doesn't need its human labor much longer. China can just build robots to replace a lot of humans. And the U.S. doesn't have these resources. The U.S. is like 20 years behind on strategic planning. And it's not Trump's fault, all of it. You know, Trump has largely inherited a train wreck of a broken economy, a broken currency, you know, broken culture, broken borders, etc. But Trump is in many ways making it worse with these tariffs, you know, driving away our allies. So the bottom line is the West is waning. There was a, let's say, a century of Western dominance of the world, maybe more than a century. Maybe if you include the UK, I guess it would be like 2.5 centuries. But that's coming to an end. It's done. It's done. The power base is shifting back to the East. It's going to be China. It's going to be Russia. It's going to be India. It'll be Turkey. It'll be Iran. And it'll be elements of the global South, such as Brazil, etc. That's where the power base is. You're going to see Western civilization largely implode and collapse and be left behind. And it's clear now. It's as clear as day. This Power of Siberia 2 pipeline just lays it out on a map as clear as day. Where the energy flows, the technology goes, the investment goes. So you're watching the future on a map, and the future of industry is northern China. The future of robotics, northern China. The future of AI, China. It doesn't matter how many data centers you build in the United States. You don't have the power to compete with China. You just don't have the power, period. Because, you know, Al Gore and the climate lunatics spent too long telling everybody energy's bad and put us behind 20 years, behind China. Remember, China was telling all the Western countries, you have to sign the Paris Climate Accords. You have to cut back on fossil fuels and carbon dioxide emissions, while China itself was like, but we won't. You know, we're going to build a coal-fired power plant every day. We don't care about CO2 emissions. Ha, ha, ha. I don't know how to do a Chinese language laugh like that, but you get the idea. The Chinese were laughing at the West. They watched the West commit energy suicide. And the West went along with it with all these liberals, you know, these far-left libtards, both men and women. Oh, we got to save the planet. We have to shut down energy. We can't have any carbon. We have to decarbonize. Yeah. Guess what? Guess how the decarbonization is going to work in the near future? Mass extermination of you. Because you were dumb enough to let your country get conquered by other countries that are going to dominate the world. So your country has no future. And that's true whether you're in the UK, you know, you're in Britain, you're in France, you're in the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. Your country has no future because you don't have the energy, you don't have the plan, you don't have the technology, you don't have the rare earths, you don't have the raw materials, you don't have the robotics, you don't have the weapon systems, you don't have any of it. What do you got? You're clinging to the past. You're clinging to the memory of World War II and the industry where the United States was once dominant, but that no longer exists. The U.S. can barely manufacture steel, and it's not even that great of steel either, by the way, for the most part. It's not like the world's best steel. So this is why the dollar is collapsing. This is why gold is skyrocketing. And this is why the people who are paying attention, they know that you are seeing a historic shift from Western civilization to non-Western countries. And this cannot be reversed. So BRICS is the future of settlement systems. The SCO is a significant group, organization of countries that have a lot of common goals to be independent from Western currency hegemony and the political pressures of the United States. And there are many other factors here. So keep all of this in mind, folks, and be sure to follow me on Brighteon.com and use our free AI engine at Brighteon.ai. And you can also read my articles at naturalnews.com. And you can find me on X at Health Ranger. So thank you for listening. Gold and silver have hit an all-time record high. And according to the experts I interview, it's just getting started. You can get more gold and silver in your hands to protect your assets by going to metalswithmike.com. That's metalswithmike.com.